I've been thinking about this weekend and these holidays that we observe close together these few days, and I realize that All Souls Day and All Saints Day each year becomes a little bit more meaningful to me, because each year there is less of earthly life ahead of me than behind me now. And the longer I live, the more people I know who have passed over into that other life with God. So it is with that heart of appreciation and love that we come together on these holy days, this weekend, this end of October and beginning of November. Halloween is, for some, a high holy day, whether they're religious or not. Those children and adults who just love publicly sanctioned opportunity to dress up for fun or for fantasy, which is not a bad thing. We'll say that is good in and of itself. It's a worthwhile end. But in a religious context, this weekend is spiritually significant. And depending upon your cultural or religious history or heritage, you might celebrate All Souls Day, All Saints Day, or Dia de los Muertos, the Mexican Days of the Dead. And all of them coincide this weekend, and they are more or less important depending upon your community and background. Some of our traditions may minimize them, but when we pause and honor them, they inform our spirituality in very interesting and important ways. You will recall that what we now call Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, is the Christian name that was given to the ancient Celtic New Year celebration of Samhain. The old religion of Europe observed that last day of October as the end of the old year and the beginning of the new year. And it was considered the in-between time where the living and the dead drew closest together. That separating veil was so thin, it was the night where you could cross over, when the dead would travel between this world and the next. The Celts recognized, and all religions all around the world recognize, that the visible here and now is just a fragment of a much larger spiritual reality, a much more populous spiritual world. I'm just going to pause for a moment. Which microphone will be best used?
I think we were doing something on the table that caused that noise. But
okay, so I should just carry on.
Pay
no attention to what's happening.
Okay.
just checking.
Right.
And even after the Christianization of Europe, that old religion holiday was so irrepressible, like so many others, that by the 9th century, All Saints Day was proclaimed on November 1st, All Souls Day on November 2nd, and the European Church baptized these as the official Christian observances and reinterpretations of a tradition that is far older than Christianity is. So together, it's more than an opportunity just to dress up in costume, more than a yearly opportunity to reminisce about past persons. It's an opportunity where we can celebrate that time and space and even death itself does not break the deep and enduring eternal connections that we have. The poem that we heard read so beautifully by Wendell Berry states it that on these days we remember that we clasp hands as part of a great circle dance. Those who have come before us, those who are coming after us, passing in and out of earthly life. And we are just a fragment, but part of that dance. We remember we live in sacred time, the past, present, future coexisting. We step into a world where the boundaries blur. Difficult if you're a black and white thinker. The boundaries blur. Separations are so thin that somehow we overcome them. We're in companionship with something larger, blessed with a vision of that great circle, a vision that the letter to the Hebrews calls the great cloud of witnesses. That opening verse, those opening verses of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, pretty well known, particularly for coining that phrase, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It is a rich spiritual image. You might guess, since the passage begins with the word therefore, that before this, the author has just laid out half of an argument. Half of a point has been made, and this is the therefore point. The preceding chapter, chapter 11 in Hebrews, you may recall, is essentially just a roll call of faithful ancestors. The exemplars of the faith begins with Abel, one of the first two sons of Adam and Eve. And it names the famous ancestors of the faith, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, the names we recall so easily. And then lesser known names, Rahab, Barak, Jephthah, and even includes unnamed many who died in the faith. 35 verses worth. 35 verses in Hebrews chapter 11, recollecting a millennia of faithful, calling them the great cloud of witnesses. And not only witnesses that witnessed what happened in the past, but this passage suggests that surrounded even in the present, as we too make the journey of faith. As we too, as the author says, run with perseverance the race that they have run before. Kind of imagine these witnesses as an invisible cheering section, cheering us on as we make our way on this journey. And some of them known to us, but many, many more of them completely unknown. So when we pause and remember that message of All Saints Day, of Halloween even, we dare to claim once again that we live in sacred time when the past, present, and future coexist to us because they coexist to God. And it's sacred time not just this weekend, but whenever our spirits attune to it. I'm especially aware of that sacred time when we celebrate and share communion. I recall when I first began attending MCC Los Angeles more than 25 years ago. At that time, the Los Angeles Church was in downtown Los Angeles on Hill Street, occupying a building which was kind of a turn-of-the-century opera theater. It was very grand in its day, but decades later, it had gotten pretty musty and dusty. But it had a grand open space, and around the upper ceiling, well, I don't know the right architectural words for it, but there were windows much like ours, though not stained glass, that the whole way around the top of the building filtered the light in from the high balcony the whole way down to the theater seating below. And one of the things that I did, as many folks at MCC do, I had the opportunity to be an acolyte, to hold the communion bread and cup when people came forward to receive it. And I remember one day, acolyting on Sunday, and as I saw the people streaming forward in the aisles, saw the filtered light coming down through that grand and old and beautiful dusty building, I suddenly realized what I was seeing was the visible great cloud of witnesses. What I had caught a glimpse of in that moment was what it would feel like. See those streams of people, many of whose names I did not yet know, many of whom now are departed. But in communion, seeing a glimpse of the cloud of witnesses. I believe I may have told this story, but when my father was nearing death 13 years ago, as he was reaching the very end stages of Parkinson's disease, I had gone home to be with my mother. We knew that he would die within a couple of days, if not several hours. And I was with my mother. We had gone to visit him. And he was, at that point, non-responsive. He had not been eating or drinking for a few days. And it was a Saturday, and Mom and I were at home after visiting him. And she was really, I would say, agonizing about a decision that she faced. They had been lifelong faithful Presbyterians, and Presbyterians, at least this Presbyterian church, did not celebrate communion frequently. I don't even know that they did it monthly.
Four times a year.
Some do it more often. Yeah. You have just outed yourself as a Presbyterian. But that was the Saturday, and the next day was a communion Sunday. And my mother was agonizing about whether she would call the pastor and ask for communion to be brought to my father. And she was agonizing about that because since he had not eaten or had anything to drink in days, would a tiny crumb of food or a tiny drop of grape juice somehow stimulate his appetite and increase his suffering in his last hours? She had not yet reached that decision when my father passed away that night, that Saturday night. We went to church the next day, and I remember my mother just commenting, "Well, I guess Lewis is having his communion with the Lord today." It just doesn't stop. Whenever we commune, we can remember, and we should remember, that it's not just about you or me having our precious intimate moment with Jesus here and now. When we, quote, do this in remembrance of me, we remember a whole body of Christ that spans centuries and wraps around the globe. We remember across time and space. We are drawn into that circle dance of which we are only a fragment. We clasp hands with those before us, after us, and you know, we are at our best when we grasp the connections with others, those that have come before, those that are coming after. And it's not a kind of cosmic, well, what the neighbor's going to think about what I do here and now. It's on the other hand, when we are feeling, I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling lonely or frightened or challenged, tossed back and forth, I want to hold on to somebody's hand. Don't you? Don't you want someone's hand to clasp? It strengthens us. It buttresses us against those winds. Clasping hands lifts us up and steadies us. So on this celebration of All Saints Day, we celebrate and worship amidst a great fluttering of wings. I want us to feel and draw strength from that cloud of witnesses. Clasp the hands of the saints and souls circling around, the seen and the unseen, some of whom are living in flesh, more of whom are alive in spirit only. We'll share a litany of All Saints and All Souls. And as we share those names, you will have some response printed in the bulletin and projected on the PowerPoint. Sing aloud a number of names just to recollect and gather our remembrance. And there will be a moment at which you are invited to offer the names of those beloved departed that you wish to remember and name aloud, or you can name them in the silence of your heart. But today, when we hear those names, when we call them, listen with the ear of your spirit. May we hear them answer, present. As we call and listen to those names, as we join in that circle dance, may we feel the clasp of their hand.
Pray for us. Pray for us.